Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Each city, each region is going to be a little different. And there may be some situations where people can go into that pretty quickly because they've already passed the first gateway. But others should not do it if they're still on the way up and they haven't plateaued.
All right, that's Dr. Anthony Fauci, and of course he's talking about coronavirus, COVID-19, and states that are reopening, and it depends from state to state how much the doors are swinging open to letting the people who live in those areas go and do what they perhaps would normally do, run to the mall, go to a restaurant, get a haircut, that kind of thing. The warning is clear. You don't know what you don't know. And maybe, like in Wisconsin when they went to vote, 52 people got sick, which included some poll workers and people who actually voted, because you don't know who has the virus, where it's coming from. And we can only live in this state of the giant question mark, I call it, for so long. And at some point, you have to have those rollouts, but nobody can 100% say that it's safe. And while that's going on, of course, it's the dismal unemployment numbers and claims, and people who have worked their whole lives and don't want to take any kind of money but have no choice but to get help and will wait in line at a food pantry for hours to be able to get enough food to feed their family. It's not, oh, that's the other people and let's help them. It's actually you. And those are the stories that I'm hearing all over the place. So we are in these times that we're not familiar with, and life as we know it is absolutely changed. As I said on another show, forever doesn't mean it's a constantly being barraged with negativity, but mindset and how you handle it and what happens is so important. And of course, the biggest news of all is what Fauci is saying, being careful about when things are being open. And I think most people are looking at Georgia as that guinea pig because of everything that opened there, especially in Hotlanta, but even some of the surrounding areas, and what life will be like in the next couple of weeks. Will COVID-19 cases be sparse and it won't be the norm, and there won't be a big tragedy on hand because so many people stopped social distancing, which, by the way, because places are reopened, doesn't mean that people aren't social distancing and they aren't wearing masks and they aren't wearing gloves and doing all the protective things. It's the assumption that it will be lax and how dangerous that could be if it was lax. All right, let's give you the numbers of where we're at with this coronavirus in the United States right now. Deaths that we have up to date, 63,538. Confirmed cases, by the way, overall in the U.S., 1.9 million. Recovered, I like the optimistic viewpoint, 128,000. So 128,000. And that's where we're at. And we know the worst or hardest hit areas, New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Michigan, Connecticut would make that list, that top five list, too. And then there are other states where it's been like a blip, comparatively speaking. People talk about Texas a lot and what's going on in the great state of Texas, because like California and New York, it's a vast state. Confirmed cases over 28,000, recovered over 13,000, deaths 782, so relatively small considering the size of the state and the big metropolitan metropolitan areas, by the way, that are also there. Now, testing, how much testing is being done, how much reporting of the cases, all of that you have to take into consideration, of course, when you look at any of those numbers. That's part of the story, and some of that we don't know. All right, so let's tell you some things at the top of the show. One, something that's being floated is another $1 trillion for states in the next relief package, and they're calling it, and this is just being pitched, CARES 2, which would include hundreds of billions of dollars to help workers, businesses, and families weather the crisis. And the thought is, because of what happened the last time and how many small businesses were left out, devastated by the economic fallout, that more of this would seep into their hands. It seems like such a huge number. Wow. I mean, a crazy number, but is it doable? And after the last amount that was dumped in, what was it, $150 billion. But the thought being that, you know, there needs to be more out there and as soon as possible to help people turn this around quickly. So we'll see if that gets adopted, if it gets tossed around a little bit more. I mean, I think there's going to be some Republican and Democratic headbutting on this one. Even Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell saying he'd prefer to see the states declare bankruptcy than grant more federal help. And Senate Republicans overall, last week the talk was revenue replacement for state governments or solving their pension problems isn't what the federal government wants to do. McConnell was saying those things. So CARES 2 is just a big question mark, I think, at this point. Nancy Pelosi is one of the people floating it and backing it, and I don't know where that goes. Depends on, let's see also what happens with the Paycheck Protection Program, because last week, $484 billion, that went toward replenishing the small business loans. You know, let's put it this way. It's never going to be enough, no matter what, because this was devastating. This was a massive blow, a shock to the system to so many people. All right, speaking of a shock, some of the people in Michigan are furious because the governor there, Whitmer, she decided, as to Fauci's remarks, that she wasn't going to play the guinea pig role. She signed an executive order extending Michigan's state of emergency to end in May. She said in a statement that COVID-19 is an enemy that has taken the lives of more Michiganders than we lost during the Vietnam War. So there were protests on Thursday. Protesters swarmed the state capitol, some carrying rifles on their shoulders, demanding an end to the state of emergency. Earlier in the month, Whitmer faced protests for her stay-at-home order, and now this was the second one. Right now, confirmed cases of the coronavirus in the state, 41,379. And then, of course, the amount of deaths approaching the 4,000 mark. These are really rough times, my friends, and I don't have to tell you. I think everybody in some way has been affected. If you haven't been, that's a miracle. And it's now really about making that list of what you're grateful for every single day. All right, speaking of lists, it's about numbers. We Can Count. That's coming your way down the pike and around the bend next.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited. This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meat packing plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
In the middle of a crisis, now is the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity and pursuing my dreams. I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
The numbers, and I mean numbers of all sorts. So let's put it this way. We could go from the airlines requiring passengers to wear face masks or Major League Baseball expecting to use home parks for spring training. If. Lots of questions surround, of course, our lives every day. So let's talk about Major League Baseball for a second. We did that this week with somebody in the Dodgers organization. Major League Baseball teams, if they're able to play this year, are preparing for the possibility of resuming spring training at their regular season ballparks instead of going to the spring training sites in Florida and Arizona. That is at least what's being discussed. They would save money and time, and you would have training camps that would last 3 weeks before the start of a shortened season. And then it becomes interesting because it's about maybe 100 games. There's your number that you would get. And then the idea is maybe the American and the National League would be wiped out and you would play in regions, so it'd be teams that are close to you. Major League Baseball is seeking about a 35% pay cut from the umpires for the regular season if a season is played. The umps, who are paid the first of every month, have been paid through April, including $12,000 licensing checks in March. So the 76 major league umpires have been told if no agreement is reached, because they don't have one, they will no longer be paid until the resumption of the regular season. Yikes. The maximum salary, if you're curious, for umpires, you ready for this? $432,800. And the lowest end of it is $103,000. for major league umpires, so you get right around in that area. But of course, if everything gets chopped up, you know, and especially on the lower end, that would cripple some of those families, and if they were the breadwinner, you know, whatever. But will we even have baseball? And that is a big, yeah, that's a big question mark. Let's put it that way. We, like everything else, we don't know. But I would say if there is a sport that's going to come back, they certainly have a very, very good chance to come back. Okay, think about this. The Labor Department, when people are frustrated because they're calling labor departments and they're getting, the lines are jammed and please call back, because people are calling for, to apply for their benefits, for unemployment, for, you know, all that kind of thing, and they're not getting help through the system. The state unemployment systems have been crushed because you have a record-breaking 30 million Americans plus who filed claims in 6 weeks because businesses were crippled by the shock of the coronavirus pandemic. So people were laid off or furloughed, and then you throw in every week more claims and it becomes a disaster for people who are looking for a raft and can't get an answer. Ugh, nothing more frustrating than that, right? You call and call and call. And here's the thing. With the way this system is, you call and call and call, and then if you're lucky, you're one of the people that eventually gets, you know, gets through. We move on to this one. There was controversy in Jeopardy. A Jeopardy contestant was criticized after mistaking Janet Jackson for Ariana Grande. Jeopardy fans are saying thank you next to a contestant who gave an incorrect answer on the show. So during Wednesday's episode, contestants answered questions about the Billboard Music Awards, while host Alex Trebek provided them with a clue and a short clip of their award show appearance. So they showed the clip, and the clue was, as the recipient of the 2018 Icon Award, she took control, that's a hint for a song, and took to the stage in her first live television performance in nearly a decade. And then, of course, was a clip of Janet Jackson. Oh, Ariana Grande, no! But somebody did get, who is Janet Jackson? Who is Janet Jackson? So the poor guy who got it wrong, you are getting crushed on social media. And that's exactly what happened. But, you know, if you put yourself out there and you're a contestant on a game show and you pick what most people think is an easy question, and you get it wrong, I mean, it's the final Jeopardy, but you get it wrong, then that's what's going to happen. So, unfortunately, one guy, one answer, and 1 million trolls all over his butt for guessing the completely wrong person. Not even close. Not close in age, not close in very much of anything. You know, what can you say? Pop culture is one of those things. You either know it or you don't, and you don't know everything. Nobody can know everything about whatever subject matter. I don't care what the subject matter is. All right, foods to avoid for better sleep in stressful times. I've gotten all kinds of lists from people about that, so I thought it'd be fun to just run down a couple of them quickly. And, of course, one of the big things we hear is 45 million Americans diet each year. Oof. If you're too calorie restrictive throughout the day, you might feel inclined to snack at night. Guilty. But it affects how you sleep and how you diet. If you're not restricting so much, then you're not going to have that much of a drive to eat later. So the idea is to avoid the stress and weight gain and whatever. Just don't eat late at night. And I love when they tell you, make healthy dietary choices across the board. It's going to be great for your sleep. But like, it's so easy. Let's see. Twizzlers or an apple? Chocolate cake or a kiwi? The decision is rather tough, but sometimes the crappy food wins out, right? Sometimes it does. You know, it's interesting. One of the things that you'll hear is not to drink caffeine later in the day. It makes it harder for you to fall asleep. And then relying on caffeine during the waking hours, they say, can take a toll on your sleep. So if you're caffeine dependent, you're prone to experiencing more nighttime disturbances and have lower sleep quality overall. To which I say, bring it on, because I like my coffee. And I am one of those. I must defy the odds. I can drink coffee at night and still sleep. I mean, I don't know if I drank 15 cups of it, could I? But of course I don't. But I every once in a while like a cup of coffee later in the day. I don't worry about the time. Of the people that were surveyed in a survey about coffee recently, 72% said that they chose to drink coffee even later in the day. It wasn't just a morning thing for them. Probably for most people, it is probably a lot tougher. But again, I will say, I was not one of those people. So if I want to have coffee, guess what? I just have coffee. That's what I do. I'm not worried about the time so much, right? But it does wake me up. I mean, I will say that. Not everybody is down, down, down. Amazon revenue is up 26% for the first quarter. Shares fell 5%. And so why is that? Amazon sold, shipped, and streamed more food, product, and video content during the first 3 months of 2020. That's why the revenue rose 26% to $75.5 billion, because it is essential to get what they were ordering and to stay home and to help slow the spread of the coronavirus. Amazon had to hire 175,000 new workers to handle the demand. They reported net income decline 30.5% to $2.5 billion in the first quarter of 2020. I don't know. When we're talking about all these billions, does anyone feel sorry? I don't think anyone listening to me is feeling badly for Jeff Bezos or Amazon, because the bottom line is his business is necessary, and people still in a pandemic, you can drive around and you can find packages on porches that are most likely from Amazon, pandemic or not. All right, stay with us. Coming up, some really incredible people that I'm going to introduce you to. One, a woman who was abused as a child and has gone on to crush it in helping homeless teens. What does that mean for the coronavirus? And a woman named Snow, kind of a secret cybercrime expert, next.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
You USA Radio News with John
Hunt. Dr. Scott Gottlieb, the former head of the Food and Drug Administration under President Trump, said the continued rise in the cases of coronavirus in many states indicate that the measures implemented to mitigate the spread of the virus didn't work as well as expected.
When you look across the country, it's really a mixed bag. Certainly cases are falling in the tri-state region around New York City. Around the nation, hospitalizations and new cases continue to rise. There's about 20 states where we see a rising number of new cases. Illinois, Texas, Maryland, Indiana, Virginia, North Carolina, Tennessee have a lot of new cases on a daily basis. And so while mitigation didn't fail, I think it's fair to say that it didn't work as well as we expected.
Speaking on CBS's Face the Nation, Gottlieb predicted that by the end of June, the number of deaths from COVID-19 will surpass 100,000 nationally. Currently, the death toll stands at more than 66,000. This is USA Radio News. A 5.4 magnitude earthquake hit near southern Puerto Rico, jolting many from their beds on an island where many people remain in shelters from previous quakes earlier in the year. The U.S. Geological Society said the quake hit just off the coast of Talboa Pinuelas and was felt where hundreds of homes were destroyed by a quake in early January. The tremor also hit as Puerto Ricans remain home under a two-month lockdown to help curb the spread of coronavirus. A federal judge in Los Angeles dismissed demands by the United States women's soccer team for pay equal to that of men's. Molly Levinson, spokeswoman for the defending World Cup champions, said the plaintiffs will appeal. The suit pitted the players against the United States Soccer Federation. Members of the women's national team had sought more than $66 million in damages as part of their gender discrimination suit. The legal battle grew out of 2016 complaints filed with the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission on behalf of five top women players. This is USA Radio News.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
When you're in the middle of a pandemic, the coronavirus has to be a major threat to homeless teens, to abused people, but abused teenagers who find themselves in a very dark, dark place. Andy Berger joins us. She's the founder of Beulah's Place. She knows what this is like, and thank goodness for Beulah's Place. We're going to get into that in a second. Andy, thanks for popping on the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
So let's talk about your story first and Beulah's Place. You're so passionate about this because you live this. You're a survivor of childhood abuse, and you have written about your story and talked about it. But tell listeners who don't know what happened and what led you to where you are now.
Absolutely. Before there was a term, Kate, called human trafficking, I was sex trafficked by all immediate and extended family members from ages 6 months to 17 years old. And again, we're talking the 60s, early 70s, so people were barely talking about child abuse at the time, let alone anything, you know, more sinister. And so by the time I was five, the physical, mental, emotional, sexual torture, abuse, manipulation was so great. That was my first attempt at suicide as a young girl. I just wanted to be out. I just wanted it to be over.
Wow.
And, Yeah, in that moment, you know, in my life, God interceded. In other people's lives, it could be something else. But in that moment, somehow, I felt I had some kind of purpose or some kind of something if I could just stay alive long enough. And the last time my birth mother tried to take my life, I was 17. So it was a really, really long road.
And you get out of that place, and how do you get out of that place? How do you, for the young lifetime of what you went through, how did you get out of that?
I pursued education. I went to college. I finished my four-year degree in 3 years. I was the classic overachiever, pleaser, just leave me alone, you know, let me do what I need to do. And then thought, well, you know, I'm going to go to law school and I'm going to save the world and all these other kids that were like me. And I got there and I realized, yeah, no, that's not happening, because I saw a lot of things that just weren't the kind of justice I thought I would find. So I finished because I thought, if I take my law to business, I can be more successful and hopefully develop, you know, a way to help kids on my own terms.
Yeah, so then it leads us to Beulah's Place, and tell us about Beulah's Place, which is an incredible refuge for these abused and homeless teens.
Yes, my husband and I co-founded that in 2008. We've been 100% volunteer-driven, and we rescue at-risk homeless teen boys and girls who have been trafficked, who have been sexually preyed upon or criminally preyed upon in any way, or sadly, they've just simply been discarded or kicked out for whatever reason. So they run to the streets for safety. And as you know, you and your listeners know, the streets are not safe for young people that are barely, you know, adult age.
Yeah, so now we're in this pandemic, and what's happening? I would think the threat is even more major now because of the coronavirus.
Absolutely. These kids, a lot of our kids, they lived in trees and old cars and abandoned or condemned, you know, structures, things like that when we get them. And so now imagine they're not living in any kind of sanitary condition to begin with. And now we have, you know, this virus out there, which for them, any health condition is dangerous, but these kids have no choice. They don't have medical plans. They don't have a way to just walk into urgent care and say, hey, you know, help me. They have no residential history, nothing to show for themselves, because they've been on the streets. They may be carriers and not even know it. So they're either going to die or get worse, or hopefully, you know, if there's a miracle for them, you know, somebody intercedes like we tried to do, but we're still helping these youth regardless. And their main concerns are, can I eat today? Can I get clean today? Can I sleep today? Will somebody help me? Or am I going to die today?
Wow. So as somebody who is, I mean, such a big heart you have, obviously, and this is your passion to help other people in these terrible situations, it has to be rewarding, though, to see them come out on the other side, some of these boys and some of these girls. Is that what really keeps you going?
Absolutely. One less young person on the street means we have a chance for them to have a future, which means our communities across the nation and the world have a future when any of these kids survive and thrive. So we've had quite a number go to college. We have all of them graduating high school. We have them in jobs that they maintain. And so within 3 to 5 months in our Safe House program, they are ready to go back to community with very minimal reliance on assistance. And so that is a win for all of us. They're consumers, they're renters, they're starting their own families in a much better way. Do they still have to deal with all the trauma? Of course, just like I did. But they have a better chance when they're fed and they're watered and they have someone that believes in them.
Yeah. We're speaking to Andy Berger, and she's written a book, too, called A Fragile Thread of Hope. And in this book, you talk about four different teens, at-risk teens, you know, taking them from the streets and then what happened. Tell us about one of those stories.
Sure. One of the, not all of the stories are about traffic victims, but yes, this is a perfect example. So one of the girls, her father was the sexual violator and violated her from ages like 5 to 10. The mother finally divorced him, became an alcoholic, a raging alcoholic, met a boyfriend and would leave her daughter from ages 12 to 16 home alone with just frozen food in the freezer 6 days a week. And the only time the mother would come home or leave the boyfriend is when this girl attempted suicide, where she had to show up. And then she'd be home for a few days, and then it went back. So this girl, of course, in that time period, what do you think a young girl will do eventually? She'll hook up with friends that maybe don't have her best interest at heart. She had a woman approach her, you know, bought her presents, took her to lunch, and a few months later, hey, by the way, I have some friends. They're at a hotel down the road. I want you to come meet them. And there you have it. And so these things happen because these kids are disenfranchised. And, you know, it just is unfortunate. But when we got her, she did so well. These kids are smart. The ones that we rescue are very smart. They just need it channeled. And she has an incredible career at age 24 and has just really kicked butt in the world. So we're very proud of her and all the kids who make it.
Boy, no kidding. I mean, and again, that's their stories and surviving and thriving. I mean, that absolutely keeps you going. And I think people don't, and maybe I'm wrong about this, they hear little bits about trafficking and they hear about teenagers and homelessness and all the dangers of that, but I don't think they realize it's in their backyard. This is rampant in so many cities, isn't it?
Absolutely. Every single state in our union has documented cases. The traffickers are not necessarily what you see in the movies. That's, you know, a little bit more saleable. A lot of times it's the average Joe or average Jane that is a teacher like my birth mother was, or a salesperson like my birth father was, or, you know, they're in the community, they have a little house, they have a little family, it all looks normal, but yet they have this underlying business. They are borrowing or stealing product from other families, which is basically their children.
Wow. Wow. What can people do that are listening to this that are just being pulled into this story and now more aware? What can we do?
Well, something positive that they can do definitely is if they see something, say something. Go to your local law enforcement agency, find out what the parameters are on reporting. You can be active that way. A more passive approach, you know, buy the book because 45% of the proceeds go back to victims of child sex trafficking and child abuse. That would be helpful. You know, support an organization like Beulah's Place. Go to beulahsplace.org. Every dollar goes to programs. We have no staff. We have no personnel after 11 years. But we have a 92% success rate of these kids staying independent and moving on. So, you know, we must be doing something right. But they can help in so many ways. Or go to a local youth center, find out how you can help, or check with, you know, DHS or schools and say, is there, you know, anyone I can mentor? Things like that. Just get involved. Don't let the piercings or whatever it is, you know, throw you off, because these kids are looking for some kind of identity in our community.
Boy, I think what you said is so true about the mentoring, especially because who can they look to? Where can you go? What can you see that you know, is normal, that there is a path that you can grab onto? And the
exactly.
More mentors, the better, right?
Absolutely. Even a cup of coffee, you'd be amazed. When I first meet one of these young people, we sit down for coffee, tea, whatever, and of course they're a little reticent. You know, they don't trust right away. But, you know, I basically say, so what's going on in your life? You know, what's happening? You know, how can I help? What can I do? And make it about them and not, you know, any other agenda.
Yeah, wow. Andy, your story is so powerful. Thanks for everything that you're doing out there, fighting the good fight. Andy Berger, pick up the book and help some people, A Fragile Thread of Hope, One Survivor's Quest to Rescue. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, and so you know this. We talked about human trafficking before on this show. Many times we've talked about it, and her story is just so powerful. When you think of the abuses she mentioned that she went through and getting out of that situation, getting the law degree, then moving on to try to help others. And human trafficking is, I had no idea until somebody made me aware of just how rampant it was in every single city, and not what you think it is. The exploitations of, you know, exploited teenagers of what happens to them, like I said, how they're being exploited, is just absolutely sickening. So this is a serious problem. If there is a way that you can help and stop this cycle the people, the nefarious people who are recruiting, enticing, harboring, transporting, providing, doing any of that kind of stuff towards human trafficking and targeting these homeless teenagers, please reach out and do that. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side.
In the middle of a crisis, now is the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity. In pursuing my dreams, I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea builds the red corpuscles in our blood, which bring oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves, and cancer dies in oxygen. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunityforlife.com.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Snow. Snow is a member of IBM's X-Force Red Team and is a well-renowned social engineer or ethical hacker. She uses her skills to help people stay protected and informed. Thank goodness for that. And we are thrilled to have her with us because what a perfect time to talk about what is going on with COVID-19 and all the scammers that are out there. And IBM Security and Morning Consult just did a 2020 Consumer and Small Business COVID-19 Awareness Study, and some of it was pretty frightening. I just was reading that the other day. Snow, thanks so much for popping on.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's talk about scammers and who are they targeting and, of course, why?
So since the pandemic has started, it's really impacted everyone, especially consumers and small business owners. They're constantly being bombarded with chain serving them by playing off of their fear and confusion. And since COVID-19 was declared a pandemic, IBM X4 saw a 6,000% increase in COVID-19-related spam.
Wow. That's a lot. So what do they look like? What do the COVID-19-related scams look like? How can we tell?
Yeah, so the scams have really ranged from emails impersonating major banks like American Express and Wells Fargo, all the way to claiming to be the SBA and even the WHO. So an example of one that we've seen, it pretends to be a major bank, and in the email it says that you've received your stimulus fund credit, but to authorize this and to get your money, you have to first verify yourself. So if you click the link, it takes you to a website that looks almost identical to your bank's login. And if you were to give them your username and password and try to log in, the attackers would then have access to the information, and they could log into your bank and do things like empty out your account or do a wire transfer on your behalf.
Oh, that's scary. And I can see, I mean, they're clever at disguising it, so it looks real. You're rushing around, and boom, you go for it, especially when you talk about a stimulus, because you want the money.
Absolutely. And the attackers are really smart. They're paying attention to current times, and they're adjusting as things change. So it makes it a lot harder.
All right, once again, we're speaking with Snow, and she's an expert at this kind of stuff. So what about phone calls? Because there's text and phone calls, too, correct?
Absolutely. So one of the things to think about with phone calls is attackers can change their caller ID to look like anything they want, such as an IT department or a bank. So that's a tactic that they're really good at using, is calling you from a number that appears to be legitimate and maybe ask you to verify your information or supply some type of account information or banking information. And that's a pretty clever tactic because it looks legitimate.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, it's about the awareness. And Snow, you're a member of IBM's X-Force Red Team. Tell us what that's about.
So we are a group of hackers, and I specifically am a social engineer, which is another word for like a modern-day con artist. But me and my team, we test networks, people, buildings, and we try to break into them to find any vulnerabilities for our clients before bad guys do. So our job is to think like a criminal, with the end goal of keeping our clients safe.
I love that. So how do you get into that? So you were obviously very good at what you did. You know how to think of all the angles, and you must brainstorm on them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a very talented team of people, and we all collaborate together. But I actually have an interesting background. My background is special effects makeup, and I'm able to leverage that into some of the work I do. So if we do go on site to a client and are actually trying to break into their facility, we can do things like disguises and things like that. So it's really fun to be able to leverage another skill set I have into what I do.
Boy, no kidding. Well, I've got to ask you this. Consumers, small businesses, what can we do to protect ourselves?
One of the biggest things I like to tell people is to slow down. Right now, because of the pandemic, a lot of people are feeling rushed and, you know, they're really scared, but you just have to slow down. Or if you're on your phone, it's a small screen, so it's really hard to see all of the details. And make sure you question things. If an email or call, you know, look or feel shady, they probably are. And the other thing is to go to the website directly. So let's say you receive an email that might be your bank. Instead of clicking on links or opening attachments, go to their website directly. More times than not, they have this information on the homepage or link to an FAQ page where you can get tons of information. And then the last thing I'd like to suggest is enable multi-factor authentication. This is really just an extra security layer. So instead of logging in with just your username and password, you also have an additional piece of information you have to enter, like a code from a text message. That way, if attackers do have your username and password, they can't log in without that extra code.
Oh, that is so, so good. Well, I think it's so interesting what you do, Snow. And one last thing, where can listeners go for more info on this?
Absolutely. So for more information, listeners can go to ibm.com/COVID-19.
All right, perfect. Snow, keep doing what you're doing. Wow, so intriguing. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. How interesting is that when you think about what she's doing? And Snow mentioned some things, like you look at these alleged emails from the IRS, and 35% of the respondents to that awareness study that I mentioned expect to hear communications from the IRS by mail. And despite all the warnings from the IRS and from various law enforcement agencies and anybody you can think of connected to the security community, the IRS is never going to email you about your tax filing. So just put that in your head. Plant that in your head. You're not going to get an email on it. And if you do, it is a scam. They are phishing. They are looking for you. So here's something else pulling out of our conversation. You look at small business owners and this confusion that's kind of all over the place. Only 14% of small business owners feel like they're knowledgeable about the process to get across to get access to the government's small business loan relief program. We just had more money put into that, so a second layer of that, right? And despite the guidance that's out there that's offered all over the place, again, going, as Snow said, going directly to the site, I guess it's she's right. It's the cycle of being so fast to quickly react and do things that we're not paying attention. We're not thinking that it's any kind of clickbait or any of that kind of stuff. And, of course, the stimulus checks and COVID-19, it's a disaster for this. Testing is, you know, it's become the perfect clickbait. And on that survey, over half of the people responded said they would click on links or open attachment in emails, any of the emails they got that pertain to their stimulus check eligibility. And again, it looks so real, so once you click on it, boom, they are in. So somebody who's trying to get you, and that's why this team that they have, the IBM X-Force Red Team, I mean, how clever is that? How smart? Because they're trying to stay ahead of the game to think of what a criminal would do and what is it that they would put out there to try to pull you in, what kind of scam. And because we're in unprecedented times, in uncharted waters especially, but always, I shouldn't say always, but mostly it's connected scams really get life when they're connected to panic and fear, and in particularly when there's something that happens that's devastating to people, and obviously COVID-19 falls into that category with the rampant unemployment and people waiting for stimulus checks, like we said, or waiting to apply for loans, any of that kind of thing. And, of course, this is so, so key. I can't say it enough because I know people that I think are super smart, two people in my world that got sucked into a scam, and it was related to the IRS and their business. And because it was a business thing and they were going through with the IRS what they were doing with the business, they didn't realize that this was phony, and unfortunately it took them down a very, very scary path. So glad that Snow joined us to talk about what they're doing, and as part of that ethical hacking team, the insights that they are out there providing, you know, to protect consumers and small business owners from cyber criminals, you know, while being up on everything that we need to know during the pandemic. Thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Remember, we're all in this together. Mahalo.
Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on, so it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.
In the middle of a crisis, now is the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity and pursuing my dreams. I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.